Warning, the following podcast is loosely based on facts. It has in no way been vetted, and the hosts rely primarily on the honor system and looks of disappointment to keep the guests truthful. The stories and content in this podcast do not reflect the beliefs or ideals of the hosts or anyone associated with it or them. This podcast and the material within is meant for comedy. We do not condone or endorse crime or criminal activity, nor support the people who engage in said activity. Any complaints or grievances caused by the disclosure of this content are not intentional and may be formally submitted to the suggestion box located at reception.
True criminals!
Welcome to the show. This is True Criminals. It's a weekly podcast. Where we talk about pop culture and nerd stuff, and I'm Eric.
And I'm Scotty.
I was really hoping you would chime in and say, that's not what the fucking show's about.
I don't know, like, maybe this isn't working and you decided to switch it up. I'm just rolling with podcasts.
No, so the show's a weekly podcast where we talk to regular people about the crimes they've committed. You know, just your everyday average milkman, postal worker, electrician, you know, mental health people. Honestly, if you think about the guests that we've had, I was going through just some of the statistics in my head. I don't have any real data here, but I mean, we've had a couple mental health workers, electrician, yeah. Mechanic, a banker. I mean, so I don't know what some
of them. A couple of restaurant employees.
So, I mean, yeah. I was also thinking about, like, the demographics as well. Like, so far we've had three women on. Because another podcast that I listened to just recently, one of their episodes, was like, man, we've never had a woman on this show. I was like, oh, sweet. We're way ahead of them. And, you know, I think it's possible. I'd have to look at the numbers a little, or go through the guests a little bit closer. But I think we've had more Native Americans on this show than any other.
I mean, I've got my CDIB cards. So that counts, right?
Does it count? Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I guess it counts. I guess if the elders said it's okay.
Well, they mail it to me. Maybe if they saw me in person, they were like, fuck that. No, when I lived on that job corps, like for the most of everything, I was definitely the whitest person there. But then one day, this like blonde hair, blue eyed guy showed up, and I was like, fuck that. Kick him the fuck out.
So I guess this is the Native American podcast. So. We need to spread the word to the Native American community and let them know they've got a friend out here in the podcast community. Okay, so first thing I did want to get out there. I did recently meet Malenko, and he gave me three wishes. You know what I wished for?
What'd you wish for?
I fucked three fat bitches.
What? What'd you do with the other two wishes?
Oh shit! I forgot about him. Damn it! I got two. I don't know if there's they void after a certain period of time. Probably. Oh yeah. So I guess as far as crime news, I can definitely say I will. By the time this comes out, I will have set off some fireworks in the city limits. I have a history. Oh, yeah. I have a history of it. I'm known to carry weapons.
I mean, we where I'm at, we have. Like, there are laws and restrictions, but unless you've got somebody in your neighborhood dropping the dime,
yeah, well,
nobody really fucks with you.
No, you'll be hearing them. I've been hearing them for weeks now. Fucking
yeah, and I mean, like, where I'm, like, my home is located so close to the university and the fairgrounds and baseball stadium. Like, there's so many places that throw big fireworks things in my area.
So I've done this since I was a kid. I mean, when I was a kid, we used to just go out in front into the street, and the family would buy a bunch of cheap, shitty ground level fireworks, and we just set off fountains and little things, flowers and whatever.
Yeah,
but
man, it was the fourth before last. me, my son, and my girlfriend, we were at her parents' house because they get into it. And her father spends a bunch of money on fireworks and shit. Well, they had a pool, and my son was playing in the pool, and I'm kind of like hanging out with him because I don't really, well, I've already shared my fear of fireworks.
Cowards.
But I was just kind of like standing over with him near the pool, and her father set out some, I have no clue what it was. It was a tube, and it had multiple big shots in it, you know? And the first one goes off, and the thing fucking falls over. And then it starts firing them, and like they go and then explode.
Yeah.
And it's firing them, but every time it's firing, it's like shifting it a little bit clockwise. And so I run over to like kind of in front of him. I'm like, dude, duck down in the water. Like, keep your face above water, but like where the wall is, you know? It's like, and none of them really hit us, but then they shot on both sides of us. But then, like, the second one after it passed us fucking flies straight into everybody sitting on the patio and blows up in her mom's face. And she had to go to the ER and shit. like, it blacked her eye. That's it.
Crazy. But,
yeah. Don't fucking do fireworks around me, man. I'm firework bad omen.
I mean, we're going. I'm even this year. I'm even against like setting them off. I just don't care. The kids are older, and I'm like, what do I care to see a fountain?
Yeah.
So, and I mean, I'm a curmudgeon anyway. So every year, I'm like, it's gonna be hot if we go out there and watch a show and blah blah blah. And if I buy beers while I'm there, they're gonna be like $4 a piece. And
yeah.
But anyways, so I will have done it though because my wife is gonna make us get some fireworks and set them off. And
I am gonna hit up some spots to look for those string poppers.
Yeah, you have to get them online. I've tried to find them at firework stands. So we years ago, Scott and I lived in a house. We've mentioned probably several stories that take place in this house in previous episodes. And we got, I don't know who got them or where they came from, but there was just a whole bunch of what they're called booby traps, and they're fireworks. And they're just like little tiny, they're probably less explosive than a black cat. And
oh, yeah.
They have a string on each end, and you're meant to tie the two strings to something, like a door. And so when someone opens the door, the two strings pull tight, and the booby trap pops. And, I mean, you can just yank the strings, and they'll pop. And we got into a war. It was a booby trap war at this house. And, I mean, there were so many things. I mean, my favorite one was I booby-trapped a shoe. I put a safety pin through the shoe at the bottom in the rubber, and then I put a safety pin through the carpet, and I tied the booby-trap to the two safety pins. And so then whoever, I don't know who got it, but yeah, they picked up their...
Oh, it was me.
Okay.
No, I remember. I was like, I loved the thing, and I wasn't like, oh, my stars and garters. But I was mad that you came up with such a good one.
Yeah, that was a really good one. I mean, you could not go to the bathroom and close the door all the way.
Yeah.
Everybody had booby traps, and
which was terrible for me because I have some very severe bathroom issues because of you and your brother mostly.
Okay, now I'm going to tell another story. So when Scott first started to hang out with us, yeah, when we were like right around 18, he would come over, and I think I was living with my mom. Like, I had just parted ways with Brian, went and stayed with my mom for a few months. Yeah. But while I was there, Scott started hanging around, and yeah, one of the bathrooms didn't have a real door. It had like
it was like a laundry hamper door.
Yeah, it was like
just like the folding two-piece door.
It had slats, so like you could really see inside anyway.
Yeah, they weren't even very good slats. They should be facing up, so you can't look down into it.
And so every time Scott would go use the restroom, someone would go push open the door. Yeah, and just mess with him somehow. And so he had to poopy walk to the door multiple times to
close. Yeah, like, one time I was taking a shower, and, like, I hear a bunch of giggling, or your brother had like brought a bunch of kids skipping school and brought a bunch of like junior high kids, and they were standing in the fucking folding door watching me shower.
That was a thing. So we were really into pranks.
That's fucking peeping.
No, the booby traps, the bathroom door. This is all pranks. Yeah. So that ties into what you're saying about the booby traps. Okay. Do you have anything else to say on the booby traps?
No, I do love booby. Like, I love scaring my son and girlfriend. So, like, I'll hide my mannequin in different places of the house, like in the bathroom. So when they open the door, it's like right there in the shower, stuff like that. Or tie the string to like a cabinet door and then a rubber spider so it falls out as they open the door.
Yeah. No, I mean, I love, scaring people too. I've got a rubber snake I like leave around at work that I scare people with. I bought one of those little prank boxes that you like open up the, you slide the top of the box open and a little spider jumps out at you. Okay. And I forgot, like one day, my wife came home and I'd like bought it and I'd messed with it for like a few minutes and I sat it on the table, forgot it was there. She came home and she, like, I was zoned out. So she came home, she's like, "What's this?" And I didn't even hear her. And so she just opened it up and, freaked her out. But I missed it. And then she's like, and then she was like rubbing it in my face that I missed it because she knew how much joy that would have given me. All right. So we're going to have a guest on here in a little bit, King Koopa. But one thing, so Scott and I were in an argument earlier. And so then we have to have these little makeup techs. And I don't like it. I don't like having to be like, "Man, I'm sorry, I wasn't really being." I'm like, it really makes me feel like a conversation I'd have with someone I'm in a relationship with. I don't like that. And so I don't want to do that anymore. So Scott pitched to me a movie idea, and I think we bounced some stuff back and forth on it. And then he was scrolling through Shudder and found a movie that was very similar that was already out. And then he messaged me about it. And I was like, "Oh, well, you can be the robot cop to their RoboCop or whatever," which is actually your joke. You like said that to me 19 years ago. I was telling you a story about how when I was a kid, my dad got fooled by those movies all the time. Like I'd go visit him and he'd come back to the house and he'd be like, "Hey, I was at the video store and I got that movie that all the kids are talking about, Gremlins." "Honey, I made the kids like tiny
Titanic boat."
So I said that to you and you were like, "Oh yeah, like Robot Cop," and I think you said several other ones. So I think about that every now and again. As soon as you said that, I was like, "Well yeah, you could be like Robot Cop." RoboCop. And I'm sure you don't remember any of that, but then, I guess I came across like an asshole. We had to have a little, "Oh, man, my bad." Which made me feel...
"I'm sorry, bud."
Which made me feel incredibly uncomfortable. I don't like it.
We've also texted multiple times between then and hitting records. That's weird that you said
it. I saved it for this specifically. So I did want to get that out there, and I did want to get that on. Definitely had to get on record today. We originally had a guest planned to record today, and scheduling conflict. So we're going to record with him tomorrow. But I had something that I needed to get out there, and so I was like, "Man, we just got to record." Okay. But anyways, so I'm gonna play an ad real fast, and then we'll go to Koopa.
Ha-hoo! This is Manual Pete from Old Manual Pete's Pamphlets, Papers, and Emporium. It's a magazine stand. I made it out of Tio's vodka boxes and old Ted Cruz for President signs. Want to learn the Buddhist poem? I got a pamphlet for that. Pooping and Camping, A Learner's Guide. You betcha. Right here on the third shelf. Get out of here, piece of shit. Learn the back to back or counterweight method. and salad dressing, how to tell the difference, a hitchhiker's guide to molestation, and how to avoid it, the Streetcar's almanac. So, yeah, well, this is good. So you think you can lance a boil on your own? You can! Don't trust medicine. Come on down to Old Manual Pete's Papers, Pets, and Petite Toys and make your dreams come true. I got 3-page guide that'll actually make them come true. I also got a guide for dairy substitutes in the wild. Manual Pete's, Pilates, Pamphlets, and Pen Pals, come see me. Feed me. Take me home. Old Manual Pete's. I'm located at the corner of Grammar and Kelsey behind New Mexican Pancakes. Near the state line. Come find me.
All right. So, yeah, that was our new ad.
Manual Pete.
Ad sponsor for Manual Pete. He's back at the manual stand. Yeah. All right, then. Oh, that was me doing Manual Pete.
What? Before we do play King Koopa's, just, I don't have, like, I didn't look super into it or anything, but here in my state, a police officer just shot a kid because he was working on his, he was like, couldn't tell if he got pulled over in a truck that he was working on, or he's working on a truck and the cop came up behind him. But the cop apparently turned his lights on and the kid pulled a jug of antifreeze out to put behind the wheel of the tire so it didn't roll back into the cop car. Because he was working on it.
Yeah.
And, yeah, the cop just fucking shot him in the neck.
Jesus Christ. What color was he?
He was actually white.
Oh, okay, well.
I mean, it doesn't fucking change the need for police reform. That's for fucking
sure. It doesn't.
One I don't know what color the antifreeze was, but yeah. I'm just going to go out on a limb and say neon green or blue.
Yeah.
Who's the real criminal?
Let's just fucking play Koopa.
Oh man, so yeah, without further ado, here's King Koopa. Okay, so
back to the story. I was getting arrested. They hogtied me. They unclipped me, get me in the car. They tell us that we're having pancakes when we get there. My two buddies, they think they're being honest. Like, they think they're for real. Hey, yeah, we're going to have pancakes and sausage. Pissed me off. I spit on them. Well, I said, fuck you, motherfuckers. You two stupid bastards. We ain't having no fucking...
You dummies.
Yeah. I said, I spit on the cops. I said, you two stupid bastards. And I told my buddies, I said, you two, they're going to give us fucking green bologna and fucking old bread. And tell us to get fucked is what they're going to do. And sure enough, that's what they did. That's what they did. But when we got there, the dude that had killed that girl, he came in. So he didn't relay that message yet. We found that out later because we're all in the drunk tank. He got inebriated and like pushed her and she slipped and hit her head on a rock and then drowned. But so I'm in the jail cell. Being a character, you know, I'm hamming it up, talking shit about donuts and shit, talking to cops, to the little people, you know, because I'm drunk. I'm still having a good time. And so the trustees, they hear me talking shit. They start sneaking me like tea and drinks. By the time I get done, oh, I forgot. All right. So they booked me. There's this little bitty skinny, like toothless hillbilly guy that's booking me. Guy that got his uniform, his cop uniform looked like 2 sizes too big. You like,
oh yeah.
So he's like, let me see all your tattoos. I start explaining all of them so he could put them, mark them down. And he's like,
did they take pictures of each one?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And they're like, you think you're a gangster? I was like, man, I know I knocked your fucking teeth out. And he said, oh yeah. And that motherfucker shackled me. Like a prisoner, like shackle me, like ankles to arms, where I had to like, hop to the, and then he put me in a medium orange jumpsuit. I'm fucking almost 300 pounds. It was so fucking small, bro. It was so small that I couldn't zip it, and I couldn't like I couldn't lay down straight. I couldn't lay down straight because if I lay down, it would wedge up in my ass crack. And it felt like I was sitting on a medieval, like, torture device. Like, this motherfucker, he knew what he was doing. Let's just say that. That little old fucker, that little old toothless hillbilly, he knew what he was doing. I was miserable. But, and then when my dad come and bailed me out, the trustees were like, he was walking in, the trustees were like, are you here for that big tattooed motherfucker? And because my dad had said something, and he's like, yeah, he said that motherfucker been in there talking shit, and they got him shackled and shit. And so my dad and my wife come in, and I'm shackled, look like fucking Hannibal Lecter, fucking come in to hop in to see him. I'm like, man, y'all got to get me the fuck out of here. Like, these motherfuckers got me shackled. Like, the trustees are like, he's fucking hilarious. I'm like, yeah, I'm paying for that shit. Like, paying for that, paying for being funny. Comedy doesn't, like, they don't appreciate comedy in jail very much. You know what I mean? I don't know if anybody's noticed that, but like stand up comedy and shit in jail, they don't really live, like, they don't appreciate it.
All right. But so
that's that story.
Moving on from there, one thing, you've already said it here, but you mentioned also we're talking about kicking indoors. You got anything specific about anybody that comes to mind?
There's several.
Eric, you ask that question like people don't remember what fucking doors they've kicked in.
Yeah. Do you want names of the people?
No. I mean, we'll bleep them out if you drop them.
Oh, okay. You will?
Yeah.
Oh,
shit. That's nice. Okay.
Speaking of,
okay, so
quick pause real quick. What's your favorite video game character?
Oh, my favorite video game character? Like, all right, so it's got to be a video game. I'll probably go with King Koopa.
All right. I love it.
King Koopa. But if you're going with Avengers, I'm going to go with Thanos. Because I look like him with my hat off and shit. Like, my wife said I look like him. Except for the nutsack chin. I got a badass beard instead of a nutsack. But you can, hey, that could be a clip. I got a badass beard instead of a nutsack.
We're actually going to isolate just what you said there, explaining why. I got a badass beard instead of a nutsack.
So yeah, the kicking indoors.
Yeah.
The kicking indoors. You want me to tell you, like, I could tell you one where we took all of his shit and, like, put a pistol in his mouth.
Yeah. Let's go with that.
You want to do that? Do that? All right.
Yeah.
So I was hanging out with my boy Junebug.
I don't even think we have to bleep that.
Hey, when you live in the hood, there is always a Junebug, goddammit. There's a Junebug and there's a pumpkin.
A pumpkin?
There's a pumpkin. All right. I knew a big old swole black dude in you're believing it. And his name was Pumpkin. That motherfucker will punk your ass. He'll fuck you up.
No, that's why he was called Pumpkin. I guarantee
you wouldn't have laughed if he would have walked up and said his name was Pumpkin, you wouldn't have cracked a smile. I guarantee you, like, he would have fucked you up. He would have fucked you up. Like,
Cookie Pumpkin with Christina.
I'm a big dude and I'm tough. I'm a big dude and I'm tough. Like, real tough. But I'd fuck that. He was like the knife swallowing you. Fuck that. And I had, you know, I got a big mouth. I had talked shit to him before.
So Junebug.
So the kicking indoors. I'm hanging out with Junebug, right? Yeah, so we had us a little team, you know. We had Junebug, and we had his homeboy named Debo. And it wasn't like, like you would think Debo would be a big dude. No, he's a little scrawny weirdo. And then there was this other big, like the other guy. He was Mongolian. He was huge, big old bald headed Mongolian dude. I can't remember his name.
So I assume Debo's real name wasn't Debo either. So unless
I don't remember his name either.
Unless you're worried,
that Mongolian dude was a big pussy. Like you would think that he would be stomping shit out, but nah, he's a big old teddy bear. But so we're sitting there, this dude that we was slanging to, he come and got 2 ounces. So 2 ounces, you figure out, like, some ounces would go for 1600. Well, we would let him go for like a G or 1200. And so he got 2 ounces. We figure, you know, we told him, bring back 2200 and you're straight, right? Like, that way you make a couple hundred off of it and, you know, and whatever you fuck him over on, because I know that they were going to cut it and shit probably. But so we let him go. He goes to do it. He has this little, like, it's like a, it wasn't a Datsun. It might have been a Mitsubishi, like a lowrider truck.
Yeah.
He had lowered. It was like orange, a spinny cab. So he goes over there to drop the dope to the dude. The dope dude pulls a pistol on him, robs him for the dope, takes his truck, makes him get a bus home. That's just the kind of fucking stupid meth head dumb shit that happens. So he gets back to the house and he's crying. So he's crying and I'm like, man, bro, what happened? It took forever. And he's talking to Junebug, and because it's Junebug's dope, and he's crying, he got robbed. And Junebug thought he was bullshitting. So we went outside and that motherfucker's truck was gone. We were like, he's being honest. Like, that motherfucker really got robbed. Like, that dude really punked him. So we're in the house talking, and Junebug's like, man, I really need that money. Like, I need someone to go get that money for me. And I was like, bro, I'll go get it. And he's like, really? I was like, yeah, bro, I'll go get it. Tell me where it's at. And he's like, man, are you sure? I was like, I'll go get your money. I said, I'll get your money or your dope one. And he's like, all right. So me and Junebug load up and we make it in the truck. And so we drive over there and we walk up to the door. And I knock on the door and he said, who is it? And it was he said, it's man, I need that back. And the guy looked through the peephole and was like, nah, you brought people with you. Fuck you. So I backed up to the rail. It was on the top. If you're facing north, it's on the top right-hand side of the upper half of the apartment, like the upstairs. And so I backed up to the gate, the little metal stuff that keeps you from falling over.
Yeah.
And just, boom, kicked their motherfucking door off the hinge. Like, kicked the shit out that motherfucker. Snapped the fucking the locks off, ripped the fucking door frame apart, come running in there, pull my gun out, put it in this motherfucker's mouth, and I got him pinned down on the couch. So I got my foot basically on his nuts, standing on the couch, one foot over there by the coffee table, and I got a pistol, big old 45, in his mouth. And it's you know, it's loaded. Like, if I tripped or something, man, that motherfucker's head would have been everywhere. But so we do that. I'm doing that. I tell them to load up his shit. So they're loading up his TV and shit. I take his TVs, his pit bull. I pistol whipped him, slapped him up in front of his wife and his girlfriend, made him look like a bitch, threw him on the ground, took all his money, took the dope.
Did you make back? Was it more? Did you end up getting?
We got like a free TV and a pit bull, the money, the dope, and I got to whoop somebody's ass. So it was.
So you kept the pit bull?
It was a good night. It was a good night.
You kept the pit bull? Someone kept the dog?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He kept that bitch. And that was a good dog, man. That dog ended up being Silk. We named him Silk, and he was all white, man. That was a badass pit bull.
Hmm.
He turned into a nice dog. But he probably would have been a bitch-ass dog if he grew up with that dude.
I have a... It's one of my best friends in this state for sure. He's a monster. He's like probably like 6'7", 6'8", and has to turn sideways to get through doors.
Yep.
He's just a fucking beast. When he was like, I tried to get him on here, but he's like super reluctant and shit about it. When he was like 19, he was a collector / enforcer for, I'm not going to name the club, but one of the top four biggest, I actually just looked it up, top four biggest motorcycle cops. Hmm. And as a teenager, they were sending this guy out to do some damage. And hey,
bro, at 19, like, you fight your best at 19 to like 32. Like, that's when you're your toughest. After 32, like, you start losing it. Like,
there's been multiple businesses around that have like wanted to sponsor to enter him into the tough man contests and shit.
Yeah.
But
that's just not his thing. That's like, I've done a lot of crazy shit and collected money and stuff, but it's like, I don't know. It's not something that, like, I did this, but that's just because I've been like, we've been doing TikToks and shit, my daughter. And normally I would not talk on video. Like, normally I'd be like, fuck that. That's the cops or whatever. Yeah. It's doing TikToks and stuff like that. It's kind of made me, I guess, more comfortable.
Yeah. So, yeah. No, I mean, I'm sure we both feel the same way. Like, we just started doing this two months ago.
Right.
And I have to edit half of these. And so I'm like having to listen to my own voice, pick out what I think is funny and shit like that. And yeah, it's just.
I imagine it's hard, man. And like your voice to you, it doesn't sound like, to me, I've always thought I had a squeaky voice. And my wife is like, you got a deep voice. And I'm like, in my head, it sounds like mousy.
I'm kind of the opposite. Like, I feel like I have this deep, girthy voice, and people have told me I have a deep, girthy voice. But then Eric sends me edits, or our producer, J-Town, they send me stuff, and I listen to it, and man, I'm almost like in a dark corner, balled up, listening to it. Like, I can't.
And you gotta ignore it. You gotta ignore it.
Your voice is crazy high. Yeah. Yeah.
Like, when I hear myself, I feel like I sound very effeminate and lispy and not the character that I feel like I actually am.
No. Yeah. So I'm actually used to it now, listening to
you actually remind me a lot of one of my cousins. That's why, like, I think that's why I'm comfortable. Like, you remind me a lot. Like, your mannerisms and stuff, you remind me a lot. But yeah, man, I don't. Being on camera is kind of weird, but like the way I figured is a lot of the stuff that I've done. I mean, I'm almost 40.
Well, the other thing is that, like I said, not only is it anonymous, but the camera part's just for us to see each other, so we can
reaction. Right. Which I also have to say, I appreciate you doing camera, because we've done like three or four where people do audio, but we just get a black box as visual.
Yeah.
It's honestly hard for me to get into, because
Right. You miss that personal, the connection. And that's why I told Eric, I don't care if you guys did a podcast and put it on there, the video, I really like, if the cop comes, I would just say, I don't know what to talk about. You know?
Well, we also put we have a disclaimer.
Like, I got a video of it. If they were recording when I didn't say, okay, I don't know what to talk about.
Yeah. I mean, with like all the anonymity precautions that we already take, we were never being contacted by any sort of like law enforcement. It's as simple as saying, it's an entertainment thing. What are you talking about?
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And man, like I'm a mental health worker. So I have a night that I work the crisis. So I have a night and a weekend where I deal with all the suicidal, all everything like that.
So did you have to go through special classes
classes, and I'm certified and stuff. I'm like, I'm a FWSP, a PRSS.
Yeah, because I dated a girl that she did the same thing, and she wasn't allowed to touch the people because you have to have like certain licenses and certifications.
You got to be able to do certain things. And like with crisis workers, if they call me in, even if the cops are there, I'm in charge. Like, I can tell the cops to leave.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because it's a situation where what they say to a person could cause them to.
Yeah.
So that's probably where like a lot of that defund the police comes in. A lot of them they're actually saying, dude, why are you calling cops out to situations where a mental health worker would be the
right? And why aren't like these cops are intelligent? They're trained to use weapons and shit. if they're that intelligent and they have that kind of dexterity and everything like that, they can be trained to understand and see mental health issues and to deal with them accordingly. I mean, they're smart enough. Yeah. You know, they don't go out and hire simple people.
My personal opinion is, like, a lot of funding needs to be taken away from the police because they don't need militarized weapons and shit. Right. Because, like, you in mental health have authority over police. Wildlife and game officers have authority over police because they're specialized in a certain thing, and I don't understand why so much money is funneled into
the cops.
People who aren't even worried about like stopping crimes, they want to park somewhere and wait for somebody to speed by. If your mission was to stop crime, you wouldn't be fucking parked on the side of the road for so goddamn long.
Yep. And look at other countries like London. They do have stabbings. I ain't gonna I wouldn't downplay that, but their stabbings don't equal anywhere near the amount of shootings in America.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And their cops, you don't hear about their cops being treated like shit. And you know, their cops don't have weapons. They deal with the problem with language. They talk to people. Yeah. They calm them down. They deal with the situation like a human being instead of having to be forceful and say, I can kill you, so you better calm down.
Yeah, and so one thing also is, like, it really attracts, like, a certain type of people in the U.S. that want to be cops. Because, I mean, look, we got three of us right here, and we're three admitted criminals.
So the dudes that want to be cops are the ones that's like, look at my dick.
Exactly. Look at my dick is.
I was at a stoplight just yesterday. A stoplight right next to a Pizza Hut, and these two officers were going in. It was around, like, 1 o'clock. They were doing their lunch thing. Whatever, but they were two of the fattest fucks I've ever fucking seen. Like, from the street, like, to them walking into Pizza Hut, I could see, like, spaces. It doesn't matter. I could see spaces where their buttons and snaps were, like, pulling apart. I can only, I can't imagine they actually sat down in Pizza Hut without their fucking clothes just unthreading.
Yeah,
and it's like,
and you're telling me that motherfucker is stopping someone.
Yeah, like, when you put those people in authority and they are just not capable of chasing people down, their only option is to fucking shoot.
Yeah, well, they're
in the car and run them. Run down.
And you know they're supposed to pass physicals and other things, and when they're in that sort of shape, you know they're just getting someone looking the other way.
There's no fucking way.
And I've wondered about
that. I'm a fairly hefty guy, I see police every day that I would be willing to challenge to a foot race.
Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. And like I told you, I can't run. Like, I don't have wheels. I'm not fast. But I'm pretty healthy. I'm a big guy. I'm strong. Like, I work out. I do stuff. You know what I mean? I'm not one of them slobs. There's a lot of them cops where, like, dude, I'm like, you don't want to, like, you – your fat ass might just want to talk to me with some respect, because it wouldn't be no big deal to knock you the fuck out and walk off.
So you were talking about being in a cell with a guy that accidentally killed the woman at the...
Killed that girl. Yeah, she was like 19. She was little.
It reminded me of this story. I was having to do community service. I've been arrested probably double the times you have, at least.
Really?
But it was all for not paying fines or not appearing for court.
Hey, man, I've been in trouble for that, too. I've been arrested.
And it was
I lied to you guys. Hold on. I lied to you guys. I've probably been arrested.
Okay, then we need to... Let's just end this.
Yeah. Hey, I don't know where this... Hey, this relationship can't go anywhere if we don't have trust.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know how we're going to get past this point.
Yeah, we going on. I cheated too, I'm sorry. But what were we talking about?
Oh, you were going to tell us the truth about how many times you've been arrested.
Oh, shit, yeah. Well, so I've probably been arrested like 3-4 times, and I've been arrested 3-4 times out here, out in the country. And I don't know why these motherfuckers got a hard on for me, but I think it's because I don't have a cowboy hat on and boots.
Yeah.
Like, I wear I wear Jordans and Air Force Ones and shit. I grew up in the hood, man. Like,
yeah,
that's how I dress. I like, it's not, that's just who I am. I can't help it.
If, you were talking about flat billed caps and shit earlier, and yeah. I started wearing flat billed caps, and I wore I don't even remember what shoes they were, but like Penny I started wearing flat bill hats because of Chino Moreno. I was a big Deftones fan.
Yeah.
And then,
man, I remember when the Deftones came out, like when I was younger, when they first came out, it was big.
And then,
we used to listen to them all the time.
The Nikes I was wearing was apparently like a pretty common, like thug affiliated shoe style. And people started asking me this shit. I was like, what are you talking? I just like the Deftones.
Yeah.
And shoes are shoes. What are you talking about?
Yeah. But in our area, this region, they think, oh, they're banging. They're doing something.
No.
Like jerseys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. In fact, when we were talking about being arrested and them cataloging all your tattoos and taking pictures of them. I've had that done multiple times, and several years ago, Eric's brother, Eric's cousin, and myself all got crowns tattooed on the backs of our necks because we were into a band that sucked asses.
You shouldn't even
have had the name Kings in it. And we would always go for the purpose of mosh pitting, and we'd fuck it up and be like, yeah, we're the fucking Kings. Oh,
it was Cottonmouth Kings.
Yeah, that's the one.
Hey, do you guys ever go to Edgefest?
Yeah.
Oh, we went to several Edgefests.
Oh, fuck. I took your wife to Edgefest, bro, Eric.
Yeah.
I took your wife to Edgefest, her and I got so fucked up. I didn't even stay, like, I didn't even know where she was, probably the whole time. I was so fucked up. I got fucked up, took a bunch of pills from someone, and then this fucking dude gave me his wristband for alcohol, and I was, like, 17, 16. So he gives me this wristband. I'm buying everybody beer,
Yeah, so you gotta.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm passed out. Like, I go into a mosh pit. Fucking, and you know how mosh pits were at Edgefest. They were huge, like,
yeah.
So you're just knocking motherfuckers out. Like, I was creaming motherfuckers. It is awesome. And then I woke up laying on the outside of the crowd, just fucked up, didn't know where I was. My buddy found me. My buddy, he picked me up, found me. Yeah, I sobered up a little bit because that's a long thing. Like, it goes for days. Like, it's just
one day. Like,
so I sobered up a little bit, and we ended up going home. One time I got into a big fist fight there. A bunch of stupid shit.
We went to a particular Cottonmouth Kings concert, and the opening band was
Cottonmouth Kings.
Bump, bump.
Cottonmouth Kings, bump, don't bump. Give a fuck.
But the opening band was
man.
The opening band was Headpiece. And we were all, at the time, a big fan of... I'm going to be honest, I'm still...
I like Head P still.
Oh, yeah.
Loved Head P. And they were doing their shit, and me and Eric's cousin and brother were, like, fucked up, just fucking vibing it hard. And at one point, the mosh pit just turned into, like, me and Eric's brother, because we fucked everybody up. And it was just the two of us stomping this dumbass circle like a couple of fucking clowns. And eventually, the front man, Forehead P, like, jumped off stage and came out and fucked with both of us up. And we were like, fuck. We weren't butthurt about it at all. We were like, that's what it took. That's what it took for us. So we all got different crowns tattooed on the backs of our
necks. That's what I mean, man. That's character. That's character. Well, I got, like, blood brothers.
Years later, I find out that for the gang, the Latin Kings, When they kill somebody, they get a crown tattooed on the back of their neck.
Well, you don't look like
I had a buddy who got outlaw tattooed. He got outlaws tattooed on his neck. And
that's one of the four biggest motorcycle clubs in America.
Yeah. I was like, hey, bro, that ain't like you could change that to something. Change that to something. Like, don't just leave it outlaws. You end up getting shot inside the head for some shit you don't even know about. Like, you're going to be walking, someone's just going to blow your head off.
So, two different situations. Cops cataloging my tattoos and taking pictures of that and questioning me about that crown specifically. And one of those times, I was actually in a misdemeanor pod for, I think it was like 7 days. And I'm in the fucking chow line. And this little Hispanic guy is behind me, and he's like, what the fuck is that supposed to be? He starts questioning me about it, and at this point, I already understand what that could possibly mean.
Right.
And I was like, dude, like, I know I'm not in my street clothes, but, like, you see, like, I have gauged out ears.
Yeah.
You see this shit, like. Clearly, like, you have to know that, like, that's not what that is, right?
Yeah.
And he was, he was cool about it and was like, okay. Well, like,
yeah, it's different.
You might want to be careful about that.
Yeah, it's not like you did the Hell's Angels. It's not like you did the Hell's Angels thing with the 8-1 or something or shit. Some shit like that. 81, some 81. You get that shit, you be walking around thinking you're cool.
So I have a 7 on my back shoulder blade. And yeah, the first time I got arrested, I already had that 7. And
how many times have you been arrested?
I've been arrested 3 times. Two of them. No, one of them happened here.
Oh.
Wasn't that long ago.
Hey, there ain't nothing to be ashamed of, man. Nothing to be ashamed of. Life is life. Like what I tell a lot of my clients. We all make mistakes. Like, when I was younger, I did horrible shit to people, but you can't hold on to that. That ain't who you are. That's just something that you did.
Yeah,
that's in the past.
But within the first couple times, I was like barely 18 or not even 18. The first time I definitely wasn't even 18. And yeah, I had a 7 on my back. So then they're taking pictures of my tattoos. I have a huge cross on my back and a 7. And they're like, well, what's this 7 about? And I was like, I don't know, it's just 7. I actually have two other friends that have 7s on their back. And we got them kind of as a joke, like 777 means heaven. It's like the numerical number for heaven. But yeah, I went through that. There's no gang that I know of that has a 7. I think they were trying to find the new gang.
Yeah, they're making some shit up just to get you in trouble. Like, you're affiliated, motherfucker. You're affiliated. I can see it. I know you're affiliated. Were you slinging dope? We're going to bust your house.
Oh, you should have seen me back then, too, dude. I look like fucking Busy Bone, dude. My hair was fucking crazy.
Yeah, and the guys here, like, you look like you might be, you're a little bit darker than white. What are you? You're probably one of them thugs. You're up here from just slinging that dope. Yeah, that's how motherfuckers are. Ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Well, hey, we're running on like a little over an hour 20, I think.
All right.
So
you good on that?
Yeah, let's schedule a part 2. You know, we don't have to do it anytime soon. Let's just, we stack episodes. So everything comes out like about a month out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so this won't be out like next week. It'll probably be out at the end of June.
All right, well, just shoot me a link to your podcast I'll watch it.
Okay, yeah, I'll send that over tonight.
And also, like, second appearance or whatever, we won't have to go through so much. Like, it'll be a real simple. We got a returning guest, King Koopa.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I'm down for whatever, man. Like I said, I got all kinds of stories.
Yeah, man. That's all awesome. Kinds of
stories. That's just like, that's just a couple. But...
Well, we can save some of it for next time.
All right, bro.
Devin, thanks for coming on.
Good.
Yeah, King Koopa, thank you for showing up.
Yeah, man, it's good meeting you.
Yeah. No, I'll hit you up.
I hope you got some good clips.
All right, man. So I'll hit you up here soon, and I'll send you a link to that podcast, and yeah, we'll talk again soon.
All right, man.
All right.
Later.
Welcome back. All right, so that was King Koopa Part 2. Now, what did you think of that, Scott? what was your favorite part?
That was really good.
So what was your favorite part?
My favorite part? Yeah. Where he had the drawbridge with the fire.
Yeah, yeah.
You had to get across it and you jump on the axe.
Yeah, the princess. You got it. That was the best part. So you don't remember what's in the episode. You didn't listen to it beforehand.
No, you I've been piece busy of shit. All day. I know. I didn't even see the message in full, like maybe an hour ago. You sent it to me at 6 in the morning.
Yeah, when I'm up doing shit, being productive. Fucking just got back from milking the cows, and then I sent you a message.
Milking your dick.
Okay. All right, so you don't remember anything about the episode. Even though you were there when we recorded it, you don't know what's in there.
Okay. I don't know which exact stories.
Okay, okay.
No.
All right, well then I guess we can't say much.
I feel like I really dropped the ball on this one.
Yeah. All right, well.
I'm just going to... I like... Man. Oh, man, that part where he fought the cops?
Yeah, I'm sure that was in there.
Yeah, no. I know it was. When I listened to it, it was there.
Yeah. I'm not going to... There's something you're missing on, but I'm not going to know. We'll let it sit for a minute. I'll see if you catch it.
For a minute. Oh, man, you're just waiting to make me look stupid.
No, not really. Not really.
I hate this game.
Okay. So, yeah, that was the show. Good times. Everybody had a blast. Hey, okay.
I don't think his friends had a blast.
What?
When he fought the cops. He had friends with him, and they were like,
"Yeah, yeah, that was
all right."
That was in King Koopa Part 1, I think. But
oh, was it? Is that not what we're recording for?
No, this is King Koopa Part 2.
Oh well, there's the confusion.
Okay. Okay. So, just a last-minute update. So, we did an emergency breakthrough in our last episode. I just want to rehash. We love people in wheelchairs and all the handicapped people.
No, don't make it sound like I just love anybody because they're in a wheelchair. I've met some real assholes in wheelchairs.
Yeah, but I was the asshole in that whole situation. I started grabbing at the low-hanging fruit. We're referring to Double Dragon Part 2. Yeah, I jumped onto a bit when people were like, I don't get why she was blowing that dude. And I just jumped onto it like, well, why wouldn't you blow him? He's in a wheelchair. Which is shitty. Like, I'm saying, like, fuck yeah. People in wheelchairs. So that was.
I feel like bringing this story up again, should be getting old. But man, old. I love it. I love it.
Well, dude, I felt really bad about it afterwards. And I listened to it and I was like, yeah, man, I do sound shitty. It sounds like I'm really, like, we don't have to rehash on it. Just, okay. But all of this ties back to Double Dragon, and we're on King Koopa Part 2. So, I will tell you my favorite part of King Koopa Part 2 is all this conversation, because I did not listen to King Koopa Part 2 and have no clue what was in it. I was there, and you were not catching on that I had no clue. So that whole point where I'm sitting there trying to make you look like an ass, you didn't catch on that, yeah, I fucking had no clue. Yeah, been a little tied up, fucking drove out of state for a while this weekend, and just a lot of stuff. And while I was out of state, I got this thing.
Oh, you rascal, you.
You want to describe to the audience?
What is that? Mint? Basil?
Yep.
A basil plant? That's
yeah, it's the kind that gets you high.
We said we were going to start growing little plants to break the law right here in front of everybody.
I can't fucking find any seeds anywhere. I'm going to message Resident Evil and have him send me some seeds.
I don't know what I'm going to do with this. I've watered it a couple times. I leave it sitting outside. I figured I'll let it grow till I can tell it's growing, and then I'll just give it to my neighbor and hope they're into that shit.
You just go plant it in their yard.
Any announcements. So if you're in the Dallas area next weekend, the 17th, I will be at Saturday the 17th? I think it's the 17th. I will be in Deep Ellum at a bar called The Door. I will be showing some art at an art show called Pancakes and Booze. It's a fun little show. I usually do it every year. Last year it was shut down because of COVID. But we're back this year. And I'm going to put in like a half dozen pieces.
So from what I remember of King Koopa's entire thing, because I didn't realize it was being split up into two, so I'm not sure which parts are which, but overall, he was a really fun guest. He had some pretty wild stories. We definitely had a dry spell of slow, not so criminals, and then our last three really knocked it out of the park, man.
Yeah. And next week we will have Mega Man, who has one of the funniest lines that I'm going
to... Oh, man. Mega Man, it's definitely my top favorite as far as humor.
Yeah, it'll be good. It'll be good. So that will be next week. Make sure you tune in for that. And check out the Instagram. Check out the social medias. You know, we definitely post on there and try to keep it, keep it related to the episodes and try to put up some stuff.
Yeah.
But contact us, direct message, or email us.
Email us at truecriminalsjailpod@gmail.com. If you've tried to send an email and we didn't respond to you, it might be because we posted the wrong email for a while.
Yeah. For up until about 2 weeks ago, it said true, TRU, criminals. True Criminals Jail Pod,
and then the guys at True TV got a hold of us and were like, "Hey, we think these emails are for you," but they wouldn't pass them along, so resend them.
Yeah, there's that. Oh man, yeah, I'm glad I can go back and add and edit stuff after it's already posted, because I've missed bleeping some names. I missed a pretty serious one where a guy said some pretty serious shit, and he said his fucking name is right. If you were one of the first 20 people to download that episode, you heard his name. But
yeah, I'm curious, like, if there's any steady listeners. We've got a guest that we just recorded with. I'm glad I'm not part of the editing process, because I don't know how you're gonna do it without giving away who it is.
I'll be editing that one. It's gonna be rough, but I'll do it. I might have to cut a lot though. But all right, so yeah, that was the show. I'm Eric,
and I'm Scotty.
This was True Criminal.
My dad and my wife come in, and I'm shackled, look like fucking Hannibal Lecter. I got a badass beard instead of a nutsack.
I don't even think we have to bleep that.
I lied to you guys. I've probably been arrested.
Okay, then we need to... Let's just end this.
This relationship can't go anywhere if we don't have trust.